And now, words newscasters coyly refuse to say.
George was popping the tequilas. Next thing you know, the A word is flying.
The A word.
The B word is out there.
The B word.
He called her the C word.
The C word.
The D word.
The E word. Excommunicated.
The F word.
The G word.
I want to see a president doesn't just say the H word.
The I word.
The J word.
The K word.
The L word.
The M word.
The N word.
The N word.
The N word.
As in N word mountain.
The O word.
The P word.
The Q word.
Now we're talking about the R word.
The R word.
The S word.
The T word.
It's the old U word.
What's the V word?
Visibility.
The W word.
All words that start with X.
The Y word.
The so-called Z word.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, March 4th, 2022. 255 days remaining. Our American democratic system, as we have known it. How you doing, kids? JC here. You are at jcontheline.com. How much bigger is Tracy Hansen going to get over there at Channel 5?
Rest of our for our night, 53 degrees. Clouds will increase. Winds will be out the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour.
You know, when you get into the big time and you start working at big city television stations, a lot of times in the contract, there will be a clause that essentially says if your appearance begins to suffer, in our opinion, by the way, that's sort of like the television station management gets to decide whether or not you're turning into a big fat slob, and they can actually nullify your contract. It's like being a flight attendant. You know, they have that line in there. I think it's something like height, weight, compatibility, or something like that. So if a flight attendant starts, you know, pigging out, male or female, they can say you're fired, or they can suspend you, or just say, you know, you got to lose 10 pounds or whatever the case may be. But usually that clause is in a contract for somebody who's on television. So in case like they're in a car accident, their head goes through the windshield and now they get a big scar on their face and they want to be able to say, we can take you off the air because we find that your appearance would be distracting to people who are there for the news and the weather and the sports and everything like that. Your appearance has become a distraction. It's a shame, but we're pulling you off the air. But Tracy's got two problems. She's porking out. That's number one. And number two, I don't know where she gets her clothes. You know, they don't pay these people very much money. So it's not necessarily her fault, but it would be helpful if she didn't wear clothes that cling to her already zoftic shape. I better stop talking. People are going to get mad at me for this. And these aren't necessarily my feelings. I'm looking at it from the standpoint of distraction, you know, which is interesting because you can make that argument the other way too. There are people who are on television who are so good looking, and they don't even start me on these women in Mexico. There is that one weather forecaster somewhere in Mexico. I can't remember her name, but she wears these. She's got a great figure. She wears these outfits that look like they're sprayed on. And they always make, and she's got something in her butt. It's one of those things where I think there's a lot of people running around just assuming that certain people have had some sort of like butt surgery to make their butts bigger. I don't know if that actually occurs. I remember they did an x-ray of Kim Kardashian when she started to come on the scene, 10, 12 years ago, whatever it was. And I still remember the picture of her standing next to the x-ray because she wanted to prove that it was all natural in there. But this weather forecaster in Mexico, and the other thing that she does is you can tell that she is deliberately standing there in front of the weather maps and but turning in such a way as to accentuate her derriere. And so now make the argument. You make the argument that, okay, this weather person is, she's put on a few pounds and that's become a distraction. Well, what about somebody who's got an atomic keister? You sit there and you watch the weather forecast and then they go to commercial and you realize you have no idea what the fucking weather is, because that was a distraction. So you could make the argument both ways, but nobody is, except me sitting here. Saturday Night Live is back this weekend, and one of the interesting things about it is that Pete Davidson was not on the show, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever was the last one that they did. He wasn't on the show. Presumably, he will be back on this week, and if you've been keeping track of this thing, the activities, shall we say, of Kanye West are getting more and more psychotic and more threatening. He just put out a music video this week that basically shows him, Kanye West, with a claymation figurine of Pete Davidson, his head cut off, and then burying him alive, I think it is. And people are finally starting to say, this isn't funny anymore. This is like one of those situations where things seem to have crossed the line to the point where if I'm Pete Davidson, I'm looking over my shoulder all the time. And it might not even necessarily be a case where Kanye West tries to do some sort of physical damage to the face of Pete Davidson. You know, you get some of these rabid fans, and if you're a fan of Kanye West in the first place, I have to question your sanity. But now you get some guy who's on the edge, who's a Kanye West fan, and he decides that, well, I will do the work for Kanye. I'll be his special ambassador, and I will go put a bullet in the back of the head of Pete Davidson when I see him walking down the street in Midtown Manhattan. I hate to make this point again, but I feel it's necessary. That is something I published the other day and put it on social media, and that is with regard to this whole thing in Ukraine, which is about to go sailing right off the edge of the earth. I was watching some national security guy yesterday, and he was talking about the history of these, leaders of foreign countries who have done this bizarre stuff. Idi Amin, Manuel Noriega, Hitler, Rick Santorum. Good morning, everybody. No, seriously, it all is Hitler stuff. And one of the things they said is that particularly in the Western world, our military people and our national security people and stuff like that, they always end up underestimating these crazy leaders overseas because they're like, well, they're threatening to do such and such, but nobody would ever do that. And then they turn right around and they do it. So they're always, underestimating the psychotic nature of how far somebody will take things. And they're applying that to Putin right now. It does appear as though Russia is just indiscriminately firing missiles into residential neighborhoods and schools and hospitals and stuff like that. And they're like, well, we're not doing that. And as I pointed out the other day, those of you waiting for something, because it's sort of even fun right now to watch like a 90-year-old lady, taking an AK-47 and, saying, I got something special for you. Come on, Putin, come on, I'll blow your head off. And watching everybody making Molotov cocktails and, watching the men who have 1/100th of the firepower of the Russian army, putting up this fight. It's so inspirational to watch. And at the same time, it is only a matter of time. And I'm afraid that the sand is about out of the hourglass. And I wouldn't even be surprised if it was before the end of the weekend where this thing is going to sail off the edge of the earth. Because when Putin decides, okay, I'm tired of waiting, and he brings out the heavy-duty stuff, there is going to be such a degree of bloodshed and human suffering, death, famine, despair, millions. They're saying somewhere between 4 and 7 million refugees, and Poland can't take all of them. I'm just afraid that we're at that point. We're very close to it right now. And those of you waiting for some sort of storybook ending, it's not a movie. Sometime very, very soon, I'm going to get up in the morning, turn on this microphone, and have to start talking about just unspeakable levels of human suffering. And I know we're going into the weekend. A lot of people don't want to hear that. And if you are, in fact, looking for a good laugh, I don't know what his act is like now because he's gotten, sort of serious about his politics. And I don't know if Tim Allen is inserting that into his live shows, but Friday night, tonight, Stiefel Theater, Tim Allen in town.
I'm having a pretty bad week. I just got back from a kind of a family reunion, and I got 7 brothers and 2 sisters, and I realize now, and I hate to admit it, but men are pigs. Men are just pigs. You women will agree, right? Men are pigs, right? Yeah, it's just too bad we own everything. I'm kidding. My mom raised 7 boys, 2 girls. She always called us pigs. You little pigs. You little red-butted primate little monkey pigs. All you do is poop and eat around here. That's all you do. Don't speak to your mother. You grunt like the pigs you are. My mother figured that's how men should talk. It's true. You don't think your old man grunts? Give him a steak. Honey, you like that? My mom said the only reason men are alive is for lawn care and vehicle maintenance. Oh, is that true? Yeah. I know it's true. I got a new lawn tractor. Yeah. Got the John Deere 160. Oh, yeah. 11 horse twin cylinder. 42-inch blade, rear bagger. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's got headlights in case I want to mow it at night. I have that option, yeah. My mother said men aren't men until they can find their way to Sears by themselves. That's my store, Sears. Oh. Past all that Kenmore stuff. Come on. Right to that Craftsman tool department. Oh. I walk in there, my nipples are rock hard. They're beautiful. I can buy stuff I don't even need now. Yeah. I got a gear puller. I got no idea what that thing is. Oh, yeah. But it looks good on my pegboard. Oh, 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 oh. But that some assembly required or hurt you or a loved one. My mom gave me a gas grill for my birthday. I got the Sunbeam 3300. Oh, yeah. It's got a rotisserie, dual burner, fold-down redwood serving areas. Oh, 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 oh. Looks like a car bomb in that crate, though. Butane hoses and tanks and fittings. Oh. I took a shot at it. Looked pretty good. Ever finish something, but you still got a bag of real important-looking parts left over? Hey, honey, why don't you try the grill out first? You should have seen the flame come out of that hood. Honey, stop running around like that. You're just making those flames grow on you like that. You didn't burn that meat, did you? This must be a fuel regulator of some sort. I don't think it's supposed to spray in the hair like that. Guess I don't need to tell you, though, do I, huh? Women are always mad. Burn her head, she's always mad at me. Always getting stuff dirty. I just washed that floor. Look what you did. Why don't you wash the floor for once? I pull out the hose. What's so tough about that? Everywhere you go, you make the house dirty. Oh, yeah. That's how I mark territory.
That was the bit that made him famous, and you get a chance to see him tonight in St. Louis. Weather is going to be an issue this weekend, as you probably know, with temperatures surging into the mid-70s again on Saturday, and then really, really heavy rain. There's going to be one bunch of rain coming in Saturday night, and then a little bit on Sunday, and then Sunday night into Monday. That's when certain areas are going to get 1 to 2 inches of rain. Do you know that in 2008, on this date, we had a 10-inch snowstorm, and I remember it vividly. 10 inches, a lot of damn snow. So again, as we've often pointed out, March, traditionally in the Midwest and in the St. Louis area, one of the heaviest snowfall months in the entire county. It is the heaviest snowfall month. So we're not out of the woods yet. Today is the anniversary back in 1996 of the mass exodus from KMOX to KTRS. Bill Wilkerson, Wendy Weiss. Gosh, who else was in that? Jim Holder, I think, was part of that group. But they all got up and left. See, and when they bounced me out of KMOX after only, I think it was like 53 days, you know, I told people, I said, I know what people's image is of the 50,000-watt clear channel voice of Del Mar Gardens. I know what the perception is. But when you actually work there now that everything has changed, It is a completely different place, and it isn't a good place to work anymore. And people called me crazy. And then only 2 years later, that's when everybody packed up and left. So again, I guess I was ahead of my time. Do you know how much money Suzanne Summers made on those Thighmasters? I think the first time I saw a Thighmaster was sometime in the 80s. And, you know, she still looked pretty good back then. It was doing those commercials. And she sort of, you know, just sort of innocently pushing her thighs back and forth on this thing. And you're watching going, maybe it wasn't supposed to be dirty, but it sure looked like it. She has made $300 million selling those Thighmasters. She says they stopped counting when they sold 10 million of them. Batman hits theaters today. Robert Pattinson getting a shot at this whole thing. Paul Dano, very, very good in this. And I really liked John Turturro in this movie. I gave it 4 out of 5 corks. Not my idea of a good time, but I think for the Batman crowd and people who like those kinds of movies, I think they'll be very pleased with this. So they're doing a biopic about Madonna, and she's the one producing the whole thing. So yeah, they have all these actresses coming in going, I would like to play Madonna. No, I'm going to play Madonna. And so they brought all the actresses in, and they're putting these girls through what they call a grueling audition process. It includes a boot camp with up to 11 hours of choreography training with Madonna. And then later, she's going to require that they do readings with her and do a singing audition. And there have been times in history where I really liked what Madonna was doing, and other times where I'm like, you're out of your mind, woman. And this is one of those you're out of your mind, woman things, because you know that this thing is going to come out. It's going to be one of the worst things ever put on film. Netflix launching a daily interactive trivia series called Trivia Quest, and that starts on April 1st. Each episode, 24 questions, 12 standard, 12 hard. Categories are science, history, entertainment, sports, art, and geography. You see, Joy Behar fell right out of her seat onto her butt on the set of The View yesterday. She's pushing 80. Hold on a second. How old is Joy Behar?
79 years old.
What did I tell you? You fall out of anything onto anything when you're 79. Come on. New Kids on the Block, Rick Astley, In Vogue, Salt-N-Pepa hitting the road together. They just released a new song with a video that recreates classic videos like We're Not Gonna Take It and Addicted to Love. According to SWNS Digital, in a poll that they did, the top three saddest songs are Everybody Hurts by R.E.M., Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor, and Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton. I'm not arguing those choices. Where's Alone Again Naturally? Terry Jacks, Seasons in the Sun. How about Hello in There by John Prine? I guess they were just going with really, really big hit songs. And look who's back. Charlie Sheen, starring in a new series called Ramble On, along with former Entourage stars Kevin Connolly, Kevin Dillon, and Jamie Lynn Sigler. Doesn't say where or when that's going to be on. I remember this 48 years ago today, 1974. First issue of People magazine hit the newsstands for 30 points and the game. Who was on that cover? Wrong! Correct answer, Mia Farrow. Next issue. John Candy died of a heart attack on this date 28 years ago today, 1994. He was only 43. Birthdays today and this weekend include Patricia Heaton, who is absolutely spectacular on Everybody Loves Raymond. She was great in that role, but she is as crazy as the day is long. Remember that Terri Schiavo down in Florida who was brain dead for like 10 years? She had nothing in her skull. She had had some sort of, you know, terrible accident, and her brain just went to nothing. And they're like, look, this is ghoulish, keeping this woman alive electronically, and we want to pull the plug. The family wants to pull the plug. And somehow Patricia Heaton, who's like one of those super Catholics, she like tried to get in the way of the whole thing. What business is it of hers? You know, she's 64 today. Michael T. Williamson from St. Louis. Bubba Gump, 65 today. Catherine O'Hara, one of the funniest people on earth, 68. Birthdays Saturday. Eva Mendes, looking good at 48. Michael Irvin, 56. Asif Madvi, one of the funniest people I've ever seen. He was so great on The Daily Show, 56 today. Penn Jillette, that's the tall one who talks, 67. Eddie Grant on Electric Avenue, 74. Birthdays on Sunday, Shaq, 50. D.L. Hughley, 59. Tom Arnold, 63. We had him on the show a couple of times. Kiki D is in Don't Go Breaking My Heart with Elton John in 1976. She's 75 today. Rob Reiner, director of everything, including Spinal Tap, Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, A Few Good Men, not to mention his role as Meathead in All in the Family. What a career. 75. And David Gilmour, Pink Floyd, 76. I've been in several discussions with friends and acquaintances and stuff like that about the James Webb Telescope. Now, this is the thing that launched at the tail end of last year, and this is very, very difficult to explain, especially since I myself don't understand it, because it'll become evident here in just a minute, because we're talking about pretty high-minded things here. So what they did is they said, okay, so we did this Hubble thing, which was a failure at the beginning. You'll recall they put this thing up, it's billions of dollars, and it was out of focus, and they had to send astronauts up there to retune it. And then it started sending back these amazing pictures, which were colorized. Those pictures are all colorized. That's not what the camera is seeing. NASA, or whoever is in charge of taking these pictures and then releasing them to the public, they color those in. And I think that's sort of disingenuous that they do that, because people are like, oh my God, the beautiful colors in outer space. And it's like, no, actually not. And most people don't even know that. So anyhow, they said, well, how about we got a better idea? James Webb Telescope went up, goes way, way out to the edge of the universe, and then points out there into the depths of outer space. And here's where it gets difficult to understand and also to explain. But the thing is so powerful that they're saying it will be able to look back in time. And if you're thinking to yourself, what? Well, think about this. Go outside tonight and look up at a star. What you're seeing is not the reflection of light from the star to your eyes. It's the reflection of what was there like 80 million light years ago. That's how long it has taken for that light to travel from that star to us here on Earth. That star might not even be there anymore for all you know. But what you're seeing was what was there 80 million light years ago. So now with that in mind, you send up this James Webb Telescope and you point out there, and they think this thing's supposed to be able to look back in time, so much so that there are some scientists who think that we might be able to see the beginning of the universe, might even be able to see the Big Bang. And all of these pictures start coming back this summer, probably June, maybe July. And there are even observers of this thing that say everything, the data that comes back and what we see from this telescope might not be something that we here on Earth are psychologically prepared to hear. It's going to fuck with the theologians, for one thing, for people who walk around going that, God created the Earth in 7 days and he rested on the seventh day. Or these other goofy people who think that the Earth has only been here for 10,000 years and that man walked with dinosaurs, that kind of crap. But I've been trying to explain this to my 12-year-old daughter, try to explain it to my wife, try to explain it to a couple friends, and they just look at you like, huh? First of all, most people don't even know anything about this. I brought this up at dinner when I was in St. Louis visiting with some friends over the holidays, and they were looking at me like, oh, how come we haven't heard anything about this? I'm like, how can you not? This might end up being the greatest scientific event in the history of man thus far. That's not an exaggeration to say that. And most of the world knows nothing about it. They're unaware of what's coming down in just a couple of months. Meanwhile, part of an old rocket booster was expected to crash into the moon this morning at about 6,000 miles an hour. They thought that it might even produce like a little puff of dust that might be able to be seen through powerful telescopes. The mummified body of a mermaid that was supposedly caught off the coast of Japan 300 years ago is being studied to find out what it really is. They're going to put it through an MRI machine to figure it out. Here's a stat. Approximately 80% of NFL players go broke within 3 years of retirement. And if the people responsible for this software could just send it to me immediately so I can plug it into my computer, if you only judged people based on their Facebook posts, you'd think everybody was a narcissistic psycho. So this ought to be interesting. There's a new AI, artificial intelligence thing, that's learning to diagnose mental illness just by reading what you write on social media. A team at Dartmouth has been training to analyze posts from Reddit and predict whether people might have an emotional disorder. It doesn't care about the specific content in your post. It only looks at the emotions behind what you're saying, and it analyzes patterns. It also doesn't just look for psychotic behavior. The main goal is to see if it can spot subtle signs of things like depression and bipolar disorder. Which brings us to the feature that we've been running all this week, some of the most important musical icons in history, people who have visited with us on the show over the years. I picked out five of them. We ran Bob Seger on Monday. Then we had Roger Daltrey of The Who. We had Linda Ronstadt. Yesterday was Brian May of Queen. If you missed any of these, I would encourage you to pick them up. We have all the podcasts archived here at jcontheline.com, so you can go over the weekend or something like that and listen if you missed one of these this week. And I'm finishing the week with an odd choice. I'm sure you're going to think it's an odd choice because you're saying, oh, it's going to be like Paul McCartney. He's been on the show. Or Kenny Loggins. Or Todd Rundgren. Graham Nash. Stephen Stills. Ringo. Peter Frampton. And all of those would have been good choices. But I'm picking this one for a reason that I think you'll benefit from, even though you might not think so right now. Okay? Trust me on this. This is Mickey Thomas. I think we all first heard him on Fooled Around and Fell in Love back in the 70s, Elvin Bishop. There was no real Elvin Bishop. That was the name of the band. Mickey Thomas was the guy singing the lead on that. And then, of course, joining, Starship, Jefferson Starship, whatever. And I picked this conversation for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's a hell of a nice guy. Number two, he answered everything I threw at him. And number three, you're going to learn about the business of music. There's so many things that go on behind the scenes. We talk about it in broadcasting all the time. There's stuff that goes on. You have no idea why decisions were made. But if you know anybody who actually knows something about it, because there's these things on the internet where people just, they're just guessing. They're pulling stuff out of their asses. But then eventually, somebody who's actually involved in the process that was right there when it was happening will explain and say, no, that's not what happened. Here's what happened. So in the case of Mickey Thomas, you know, that band, Starship, Jefferson Starship, went through so many reincarnations, and there was all this business activity, political activity behind them that went into the reasoning as to why the band made certain choices. So with that as an introduction, enjoy this, our fifth and final installment of rock music icons that have visited on the show here today at jcontheline.com. Tell me about how hard it is to keep a band together.
It can be real hard to keep a band together. You know, I mean, some of the earlier bands I was in, like for instance, when I first joined Jefferson Starship, you know, I was kind of coming into a band that, you know, already existed, already had been around for a long time. So you had some big egos, you know. Everybody has their own kind of idea, their own opinion about how the band, you know, what the musical direction should be.
Well, how did it work in your bands, and most notably in Starship? Who led? Who followed? What was that dynamic?
We used to kind of have a joke when I first joined the Jefferson Starship was, we are a democracy. We take a vote and then we do what Paul wants to do, meaning Paul Kantner. But because, you know, he did sort of start the Jefferson Starship. So if it came down to, like, you know, somebody holding the hammer or having the deciding vote, it was usually Paul. And it could be tough. You know, it could be turbulent at times. You know, tempers would flare and egos would get involved. And that's why I admire a band like U2, for instance, who have known each other all their lives. So, you know, there's been a lot of fights along the way. You know, they've been together since they were teenagers. But
there aren't a lot of bands like that. The Stones, no. I mean, obviously every once in a while somebody checks out. How about the Moody Blues? I mean, there's a couple of bands like that. There are not many, but it really is rare. And when you stop to think about it, it's like, wow, how do they do it?
I don't know how they do that. I know in my band, see, after a while, you know, after the Starship broke up in the early 90s, and then I reformed the band, it was easier because I could sort of pick or choose who I wanted to have in the band with me, you know, and so that made it easier. And because of that, my drummer and my keyboard player have been with me for 20 years. My bass player has been with me for 15 years. So we don't change people too often in this band.
Do the issues tend to be more about musical direction or business decisions?
I think more musical direction.
Can you give me an example of something that happened somewhere down the line where you're like, okay, we can either go this way. We had the guys from Foreigner on a while back.
Yeah.
And they were just talking about how, okay, we did a ballad and it did really well. So we did another ballad. But then somebody said, well, let's do a third ballad. And now pretty soon it's not Foreigner anymore because the fan base was like, hey, you're a rock band. And now you're doing your third consecutive ballad. And it really didn't go over very well. It was the cause of a lot of discord within the band.
Yeah. I know for us, for instance, you know, with the Starship, you know, we came out of Jefferson Starship, you know, in the early and mid 80s, you know, pretty hard rock and Jane, Find Your Way Back, you know, Laying It on the Line. And then we made a conscious effort to sort of reinvent ourselves in the mid 80s and say, you know, let's try something different. And we came out with We Built This City and Sarah and Nothing's Going to Stop Us, which were huge radio hits. But we kind of lost a little bit of our rock base along the way, you know. I wouldn't say that I would take it back because those songs are probably the biggest reason why I'm still out here and still doing what I do now, because they're so ingrained in, you know, the fabric of people's lives with because they were all three number one singles. But what happens is now people tend to identify us only with that, and they forget about all the other body of work that you've done. Getting back to what you said, though, you know, wanting, you know, you get a big hit single and then you want to recreate it, and then you want to recreate it again because it's almost like a drug, you know. You get a taste of that, like, wow, you know, I dig that. And I've actually talked to some of the guys in Foreigner about that, about what happened. And it's an easy trap to fall into. And then finally, with this new record that's coming out, I just said, screw that. We're just going to go back to being a rock band. Not a pop rock band, but a rock and roll band the way we used to do it 25, 30 years ago. And the record came together just like that.
Play to your core, play to your bass.
Get to the bass, back to the bass, you know. Yeah.
I got to ask you this, and please take it in the spirit that's intended. This song that you guys did started popping up on the list of the, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Of like either the worst the most hated song or something like that of the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how this got started. We built this city on rock and roll. I don't know. I was around when we played that song in the middle of 1980s and everybody loved it. And for some reason now, that song is popping up on these MTV lists of the worst songs of all time. Where did that come from? Because it seemed to just sprout up out of the ground.
It started with Blender magazine. And at the point in time, you know, I thought it was kind of funny because the issue of that magazine, whoever wrote about the songs that they were picking on this list was a really clever comedy writer. And they made some really funny comments, you know, because a lot of the other artists that were in the top 10 on that list were like Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson and Phil Collins and Sting and, you know, great artists. And I would be like, wow, I'm kind of
pretty good company.
Yeah,
nice neighborhood. Yeah.
List. But people only remember number one. So anyway, so Blender started that. I think that it just came to sort of exemplify a lot of things that a lot of critics and rock and roll people in general didn't like about what happened in the mid-80s to rock and roll music in general, where we did kind of synthesize and become more commercialized. And, you know, everybody was, you know, Journey was doing it. And, you know, I think another part of it was that with the history of the Starship and Jefferson Starship and Jefferson Airplane, all the way back to the airplane, that sometimes the standards were maybe a little higher for us, and the people kind of, the sellout police, so to speak, were kind of watching a band like us a little closer than the others because of that lineage and because of the history back to the 60s.
I remember my sister, who was 5 years older than me, Nancy, sat my ass down in front of the TV in February of 1964. And in exactly 6 months, it's going to be the 50th anniversary of the Beatles arriving in America, being the Ed Sullivan Show and all that sort of stuff. It sounds to me like it was not only just a seminal moment in your career, but a seminal moment in your life.
Yes.
You went and saw the Beatles. Where was this?
Well, you know, just last Sunday, this past Sunday, we were in Idaho. I happened to notice it's August the 18th. So I said, do you know what happened on this day 48 years ago? She says, no. You know, she starts thinking, well, what big historical events, or was there an assassination? I said, I saw the Beatles. And it was at Atlanta Stadium, 1965. I will say that I was 15 years old.
Pay about $6.50 for the tickets?
I think the tickets were $6.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I've lost mine somewhere. Some of my childhood buddies who went to the show with me still have their tickets. But so yeah, the bug was already there. And then when you see it live and in person, that spectacle, that pandemonium that was Beatlemania, then it's like, oh my God.
So much so that just a couple of years ago, you put on an album called Marauder.
Yeah.
And there were 1, 2, 3, 4 Beatles songs on there. You did Maybe I'm Amazed, Paul McCartney, Across the Universe, Oh Darlin', and the great George Harrison song, Wah Wah, the Beatles. And here we come up on the 50th anniversary of all. That's just unbelievable. Yeah, really all right, let's talk about what's happening musically with Mickey Thomas these days. Got a brand new song. Going to play it here in just a couple of seconds.
Cool. This was recorded in Santa Clarita, California.
Sounds nice.
Yeah. I just said, you know, we're a classic rock band. Let's make a classic rock album. As I said, it's a little more of the late 70s, early 80s Jefferson Starship than it is the more Nothing's Going to Stop Us Now kind of Starship.
And it is Mickey Thomas, not to be confused with, I'm sure for years people called you Elvin Bishop. I mean, that must have been crazy because it was like, and now here's Elvin Bishop. And I probably did it for 10 years. It was all pre-internet and all that. Yeah. We were just idiots getting into the business in our 20s. And it's like, here's Elvin Bishop. And then years later, you're like, there's no Elvin Bishop. This is Elvin Bishop, the guy singing
the
song.
Well, there is an Elvin Bishop.
Well, he is, but it's not the guy singing on the song.
But two different guys, yeah. You know, I'm still out there. I do Fooled Around and Fell in Love every night in the show.
Oh, so you still do that now?
I still do that, yeah.
How cool is that?
So I'm still trying to educate people and surprise people and like, hey, it was me.
Okay, so these days, all interviews conclude with websites and podcasts and downloads and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So hit them with all that stuff if people want to hear what you're up to musically these days and want to get on the internet and find out about everything that you're doing. How do they do it?
Well, one thing that's really important to me is the fact that I wanted this to be a situation where you can go and get a physical CD if you want it, because I still like to do that. So you can buy it. It's on Loud and Proud Records. Not that there's too many record stores anymore, but you can probably find it at Target or Walmart. And then, of course, it'll be on iTunes. You can go to Amazon.
And give them those titles again. The single, well, first of all, the one that we're sort of talking about.
Yeah, it's Not the Same as Love. Very kind of reminiscent of Jane a little bit. You know, like I said, back to a more of a grittier edge, you know, a little darker tone to some of the stuff.
And look at you. You sort of made a joke about your age, but look at a flat stomach and all your freaking hair. Do you have any idea how much that pisses me off?
Well, I've been cryogenically frozen for the last 20 years, and they just let me out.
But my career has been cryogenically frozen. All right, Mickey Thomas, Starship, and a bunch of new songs and all that sort of stuff. And check out that website and everything. Thank you for spending a little time with us, man.
Well,
great to see
welcome.
You.
You're welcome. Thank you, man. Enjoyed it.
And I hope you enjoyed that, too. I find that conversation absolutely fascinating. Mickey Thomas of Jefferson Starship. And that's it. Friday, March 4th, 2022, 255 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word. We are in the top 10 of all podcasts across the country. Continue to tell your friends and coworkers and stuff like that we're here every weekday morning at about 7 o'clock, Monday through Friday. It's absolutely free. We archive everything. You can go back and listen. You can email me at jc@jconthelinecom, Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great weekend. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.